3. Jeremiah 23 and Matthew 23 are two messages, one by Jeremiah, one by Jesus, and he is both of them are blasting religious leaders. And Jeremiah chapter 23, we're just going to read a few verses here. And then you are very fortunate this morning that we're going to have a pop quiz. So, and we're going to have the spirit of diversity this morning. I have me an NIV. So I'm going to preach from the NIV a little bit. Jeremiah 23, verse 28. Okay, it says this: the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a hammer, saith the Lord, or fire, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets. Okay, that's the Lord speaking. Old Testament, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Okay, the common phrase today is, the Bible says. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them. Southern phrase, do tell. And cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Lightness is to take the word of God lightly. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? And I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden, for ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us recognize that things have obviously not gotten better. Things have gotten worse. And in our country, we are repeating the same problems that Jeremiah experienced of his day. And help us to be like Jeremiah and remain faithful until you drop the hammer down. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, one's helping me out, pass out the pop quiz. Back there is in the yellow. And then I am going to help you out. I have a cheat sheet. Okay, so the pop quiz is the yellow paper, face down. Don't let them see the questions. And the white paper is the cheat sheet. So that's actually the answers. I guarantee every one of you are going to flunk it, so there's no problem with this. Because when you read it, I'm making this a track. The rule is you have to use the New International Version. That's the rule. Okay, so I got this is one I got years ago. Traded a guy in jail for it. I don't smell like smoke anymore. But traded a guy in jail for this. I gave him a real Bible after he discovered this wasn't real. This is an NIV. So face down, don't be looking at it, don't be cheating now. And I'm going to run a few references for you. Israel, Jeremiah was the main prophet for the last four decades before Judah was conquered by Babylon. So he was a lone wolf, as you can say, a lone ranger. He didn't have Tonto, unless you want to call Baruch Tonto. But he told the people of Judah over and over, you are rejecting God's words. You are perverting the words of God. Hosea said the same thing to Israel up north. Isaiah said the same thing to Israel up north. And now Jeremiah was saying it down south. Jeremiah would have been considered a radical fanatic of the old Bible. Okay, he had very few people that paid attention to him. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19, he told these people, he says, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, it says this, "The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom's in them." Okay, so they rejected what God says. So has everybody got your quiz? You got your pen handy? Don't matter, because you're not going to get the answers. Okay, this is a kind of a one of those ideas. I've learned through the years, instead of just telling somebody that their Bible's fake, I've learned to ask them to give me some verses out of their Bibles, and I'll give them a reference that I know is missing. I don't know if anybody noticed that I really kind of got a little swelling in my eye here. It was either a bee that got me on my eyebrow, or it was that NIV pastor that I showed him his Bible was no good, and he hit me with his purse. But I'm not sure which one it was, okay? But the idea is that I'm using the very, very close, this New International Version. It's the copyright is 1973, 78, 84, because the NIVs now are different than this one. I don't know if it's because of the pressure people like me, us, we are putting on them. Okay, and so if you got your pop quiz there, before you get that, if you would turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. You read and follow along in the pure Word of God, and then I'll read from the New International Version, and I hope that, you know, in the spirit of diversity, you know, we want to be diverse in these days. Everybody's worried about not being diverse, and so people say, Hoffman, he's King James only. That ain't true. I'll read any of them, and I want to make sure that I show you the difference between the holy and the profane. That was one thing the Old Testament priests were supposed to do by God, is that they were supposed to teach people the difference between the holy and the profane. So I'm going to read from the profane, and you read from the holy. We're going to read about the temptations of the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 4, and take note of what's missing. Luke 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Okay, verse 4, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Verse 5, the devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, verse 8, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay, I read the entire verse. Okay, verse 9, it's hard to follow when we get diverse. When we have diversity, the spirit of that diversity is very confusing sometimes. Okay, verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until the opportune time. Well, now, wasn't that a great blessing? Okay, so I read from the New International. Did you happen to notice some things missing? But I want you to notice in verse 9, okay, who is doing the talking? Now, we white folk, we don't respond much. Black folk tend to do a little bit better. And so if in a spirit of diversity, who's doing the talking in verse 9? Talk to me, congregation. Who's doing the talking? You white folk just don't have it, man. If I was up in Gary, they'd say, the devil. And that's right, choir. There ain't no choir. The devil. Okay, so verse 9, who's doing the talking? The devil. Yeah, the brother. And what is he doing? He is quoting scripture. The devil is quoting scripture, the Bible. The Bible. B-I-B-U-L. Okay, and so the devil's quoting scripture. Now, I'm going to read what he was quoting. Okay, I'm going to read Psalm 91. You follow his quotation. Psalm 91, and I'm going to read the two verses that he's quoting. You see how he does in Luke chapter 4. Psalm 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, how did he do? Did he do it word for word perfect? So, what are we discovering in Luke chapter 4? Okay, who's doing the speaking in Luke chapter 4, verse 9? Who's talking? Come on, white folk. The devil. Okay, and he is quoting scripture. He said, it is written, right? He said, it's written. In the New Testament, when you see the word, it is written, that's a quotation from the Old Testament. The Old Testament originally written in Hebrew, the New Testament originally written in Greek. So it went from Hebrew to Greek. That is what's called a translation. But who's doing the talking? Luke chapter 4, verse 10, 11. The devil is. So what is the Bible giving us? A satanic translation. What is a satanic translation? Is it Anton LaVey's satanic Bible? Or is it something a little bit different? Okay, and so we got the devil talking. You white folk just aren't like the black folk. I mean, you just don't got the soul, man. Okay, I mean, we need to get up and dance around here. Okay, and the choir say, the devil, yeah, the devil, back and forth. Okay, so we have a satanic translation. A satanic translation, what it does is it just takes out a few words. You'll notice that he left out of Psalm 91, in all thy ways. He left out a few words. That's all he did, just a few. You can't take out too many because that would let the cat out of the bag. And you don't want to let the cat out of the bag because the ones behind the new translations is people who are wholly given over to the cat. And so you got to watch out for them catholics who are trying to push that Bible down our throat. Their Bible. Okay? And so the greatest way to deceive a Christian is to take a book that says Holy Bible on it and it ain't holy. It's not holy. Okay, now what I've given you, now you can turn your quiz over, unless you've cheated. And we'll run down through the pop quiz. Okay, your cheat sheet is direct quotations from the New International Version. So instead of, you bring in your copy. Okay, it's direct quotations. So it goes right down chronologically. And the first one, Matthew 17:21, fill in the blank. And you'll see in your cheat sheet, in the NIV, it goes from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, skips verse 21, goes to verse 22. There's no verse 21. It's gone. So our poor folks that's going to take this test don't have an answer for verse 1, or number 1. Number 2. Matthew 18:11, again, if you scroll down, if you go down, and anybody listening on sermon audio, you just scroll down and we'll have it at the bottom of the page. Okay, and so you'll see in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, verse 12, 11 is gone. Just like the Jehovah Witness Bible. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, this is the great story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts 8, verse 36 is in the NIV. Acts 8, 38 is there. Acts 8, 37 is gone. So they can't answer that one. Matthew 23, verse 14. If you scroll down on that one, you'll see, I'm sorry, 1 John 5, 7. I skipped that one. Great verse on the Godhead, the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead that bear record in heaven. 1 John 5, verse 7. You'll see how short. That's why the NIV is easier reading, is because it has less words to read. And so you've memorized three verses already in the New International Version this morning because they're gone. 1 John 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, and that's gone in the New International Version. Matthew 23, 14, great verse by the Lord Jesus about somebody who is deceiving a woman into making a high mass, low mass in order to pray her husband out of purgatory. And Matthew 23, 14, you'll see it goes from verse 13 to 15, it's gone. Mark chapter 15, verse 28. I'm sorry, I skipped John. John chapter 5, verse 3. John chapter 5, verse 4 is gone. Okay, Mark chapter 15, 28. You'll see that it's gone. They play hide and seek a lot of times. Mark chapter 3, verse 15. The next one. The apostles were given authority to cast out devils, and they don't know what to do in the New International Version. That's why I put collect money, play baseball, fleece the sheep, whatever you want to call it. Mark chapter 1. Now this one is very significant. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. If you look at that in the King James Bible, you'll see that as it is written in the prophets. And the reason why it says, as is written in the prophets, is because Mark is quoting from two different sources, Malachi and Isaiah. But in the New International Version, it says both of those references are found in Isaiah. In their footnote, it will footnote them to Malachi. But the text says this is found in Isaiah. If they say it's found in Isaiah and it's not in Isaiah, that is a bald-faced lie. Now these people can doubt what the Bible says. It gets worse. I'm taking this test to make it more of a... It takes it from the simple to the very worst. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 2 is a passage from Malachi. Mark chapter 1, verse 3 is a passage from Isaiah. The King James Bible says they both come from, they both are from prophets, two different prophets. And the New International Version, as all of them, the English Standard Version, all say Isaiah wrote it, therefore they're lying. Mark chapter 7, verse 16, the next one, it's gone. 2 Samuel 21, verse 19. This is a wonderful one. Okay, how many of us grew up in Sunday school and remember the great story about David killing Goliath? David invented a gun before guns were invented. He did not use a little fireworks at the end that projected a metal object through a small tube. He invented the sling where a small object went through the air and got the guy right in the head. Had to be a pretty hard rock in order to get into his head, knowing the location of Goliath. Now, we have Goliath dying in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But you see, Goliath was like a cat. Where a cat has nine lives, Goliath has a second life. He came back to life somehow miraculously. And in 2 Samuel 21:19, you'll see that the New International Version has Elhanah killing Goliath also. Two separate people. Now, this is a tricky one because the new internationals coming out today, they threw back in that it was the brother of Goliath. But the one I got took the brother of out. So you have two separate people killing Goliath. Luke chapter 4, verse 4, this is the one I hope you noticed that when I was reading, that the New International Version took out the words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So in the New International, man doesn't live by bread alone. He can live by chips and hot salsa to add to the bread, and hamburger and lettuce and tomato, making me hungry. And bacon, lettuce, and tomato, but nah, don't like the pork, you know, all that stuff. Luke 23:38. New International Version doesn't tell you the languages. Say, not a big deal. Okay, not a big deal. Luke 4, verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ said to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. That's removed. Somebody doesn't like to be rebuked. Somebody is leading the revisionist to take away the rebuke of the devil himself. So who does Jesus command to get behind him? They don't know. It gets worse. Luke chapter 4, verse 9, of course, that one I gave you, that's what's called a satanic translation, where Satan just takes a couple words out, very few words out. And the Bible gave us an illustration of a satanic translation. Now, Isaiah 14, 12. Here's the one that's inspired this book. The one that back in Genesis chapter 3, the big issue was, yea, hath God said. Who said that? The devil said that. First person to say yes. Ever since Genesis chapter 3, he's been going after the word of God. Did God really say it? In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, in the King James Bible, you can see that this one is a prophecy that Lucifer. It's the only time the word Lucifer is found in the Bible. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And then when you read down verse 15, Lucifer is cast into the lake of fire. Now we know that this is a prophecy of the Bible. The prophecy is also written in Revelation chapter 20 that Lucifer is going to be cast into the fire. But the New International Version doesn't like it when somebody's going to be thrown into the fire. So they changed the word, O Lucifer, to what? O morning star. Well, who's the morning star? Well, if a person is limited to the NIV, if he happens to study the Bible, which they generally do not, if he finds to the end of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 16 says, Jesus Christ is a bright and morning star. In Isaiah 14, verse 12, they take Lucifer out and put who in? Jesus Christ in. Now, I don't know if that bothers people. It would kind of sort of bother me. And this is a question that a young man asked Gil Riplinger years ago when Gil Riplinger was a professor at Kent State University. This young Christian man asked Gil Riplinger in Isaiah 14, 12, is that the fall of Lucifer or the fall of Jesus Christ? You would tend to think, how do you get that confused? They get confused when they have this book. Because they don't know better. You see, and that's the one behind that. Now, if you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Paul told us many, many years ago that he warned us many, many years ago that there are going to be many, many who corrupt the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. And it says this, for we are not as many. We, Paul said, I and my compadres are not as many which corrupt the word of God. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. So Paul said, in his day, there were many that were corrupting the word of God. That verse in every new Bible. Now, I gave it to you there on the side. I gave it to you in the New International Version first, where it says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. Now, I don't know about you. I know there's a difference between peddling something and corrupting something. Big difference. Now, why did the ones who headed up the New International Version, which was Christian Reformed, why did these revisers, when they came across the text in the Greek, where it mentioned corruption of the Word of God, why did they change that to peddling? It's the same reason a person who has a hard time with drinking changes words of the Bible to make it say what he wants it to say. That verse is hitting at the sin of the revisers sitting on the committee of this book. And so they got to change it. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Now, the next one is the New American Standard Version. Now, that one is usually sold as the NASB. They usually put it as NASB because that's the one that is preferred by the intellectual pastors, the scholars. That's the one they like best, the New American Standard Bible. Years ago, there's a fellow, assistant pastor at Burr Oak Mennonite Church, that went to John MacArthur School out in California. And my wife had met him when they were knocking on doors, and then they got in a conversation. He said, I heard your husband's King James. She said, she probably said, yeah. And she said, would you like to talk to him? And he said, yeah, I would. I said, oh, praise the Lord. So I went, scheduled time, went and talked to the fellow. He was a New American Standard guy. In fact, he scoffed at the NIV. Okay, he thought it was a bad translation. But he thought New American Standard was a good one. Because that's what they think. That's what Moody Bible Institute thinks. That's what Cedarville College thinks. That's what Philadelphia College of the Bible thinks. It's the closest to the original. Okay, and I showed him in his New American Standard the same flaws of the NIV. Now, the New American Standard didn't take the verses out. What they did is they italicized them and put them in brackets, telling you they're not supposed to be here, but we don't have the guts to take them out, so we put them in there. The New American Standard, you'll see the quotation in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 17. We are not like many peddling the word of God. Well, looky there. They made the same change. Why did they make the same change? It's because they used the same manuscripts. The man that was instrumental in getting the committee together for the New American Standard was a guy named Frank Logsdon. He was friends with David Otis Fuller. And Fuller told him he did wrong by promoting the New American Standard. And Frank Logsdon, after a few years, figured out, man, I did do wrong. And he spent the remainder of his life traveling the country trying to get people to believe the King James rather than New American Standard. The guy who was a brainchild for the New American Standard. And so I was talking to this young preacher, and he was an assistant pastor, and he said, well, I've never heard these things before. And I said, I'm sure you did. He said, I went to John MacArthur School. And I said, fine and dandy, hunky-dory, doesn't matter. He said, they kept attacking my book. I said, isn't that what they do? They kept attacking my book. And he said, then I decided I'm going to learn the Greek and Hebrew so I can get it straight for myself. I said, you still didn't get it. A couple months go by, and I went back and followed him up. And he said, well, you'll be glad to know that I've switched to King James. I said, that's okay. I said, but my question is, do you believe it? His answer was no. I said, it doesn't make a difference then if you don't believe it. It makes no difference. Eventually, he moved away and went down south. I now lost track of him. But the ESV is probably the up-and-coming competitor to the NIV. It does the same thing. The one that's getting the fundamentalists is the New King James. Oh, all that it did was took the these and the thous out. That's all that it did. And I'm sure in those churches when they sing, "How great you are, how great you are," follow the bouncing ball. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to change that song. The new King James did the same cotton-picking thing the others did. 2 Corinthians 2:17, look at it. Now, why did they use the word peddling instead of corrupting? You see, when a man messes with a book, God messes with his brain. Do they realize at the same time of changing the Bible to make it say what they want, they have produced a contradiction? Do you know what they do? They peddle the Bible for profit. That's what's called a copyright. Now, fortunately, I did not have to write the American Bible Society in Colorado Springs because I did not quote more than 100 verses from the NIV. So I did not have to write for their permission. I might send them the tape, I don't know. Or encourage them to listen to sermon audio when I put it up on there. But you know what? You, if you want to print your own Bible, you can get a King James Bible and print it and nobody could sue you. You can't do that with the NIV. You can't do that with the Revised Standard or the New American Standard or the New King James or the Century Version or the Contemporary English Version or the Jehovah Witness Bible, the New World Translation, or Moffitt's and Goodspeed's and Berkeley's and all the others that I can't remember the names, the Revised Standard, the New Revised Standard, the New Revised Standard, Charlie Brown, Snoopy's, you know, all these other ones that they have out there, the Reader's Digest version, that was in the 70s it came out. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And it tells us this blessed book is the one they don't like. That's the one they don't like. They've rejected that in the seminaries. They've rejected that in the colleges. Okay, now if you would look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now it's easy to point out, you know, flaws in other people's belief system, flaws in their life. Everybody can get all, you know, jump around and say, yeah, yeah, they're wrong. Okay, let's take our fingers and look back at us. There's a guy, I think he's still on TV, Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe for years have been known as the walking Bible because he had so many Bible verses memorized. And now it's got Jack Van Impe on this side and Rex Ellen. And it's like, that right, Rex Ellen? That's right, that's right, Rex Ellen. What's the prophecy going on here? And the prophecy, and the Pope's not that bad. All those years he had memorized King James Bible, but he doesn't believe it. You know the light switch that allows the energy to flow through? That's the switch. You know what the switch is that allows the energy of the Bible, meaning the Spirit of God, to flow through us, to work in us? It's belief. Do I believe it? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when other people discover you're a Christian, do you know what you become? You become a walking epistle. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So when people discover that you're a believer, what are they reading? An HIV? Hoffman International Version? HIV. HIV positive. What are they reading in your life? Okay, if a person's really serious and honest about it, they don't like some things in the Bible, why don't you just tear it out? I don't like that. You know, ooh, that verse. Let's take that out. Let's just get rid of it. I don't believe that part of the Bible. I really don't like that part of the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This shows that when we believe what the Bible says, okay, we may not understand it, but we are to believe it. I don't understand how the Spirit can work through me. I don't get that. I don't understand it. How the Spirit can work on me to try to get me right, you know, move my spirits this way, my spirit this way. I don't really understand how that works. Even Psalmist says that we do not understand the work of God. But I believe it. I believe it. And there's some verse in the Bible, when you come across, you say, oh, I don't get it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I don't get it, but I believe it. And what you've done is you've hit a light switch. And that Spirit of God moves through that, and then He will move on you and help you to be conformed to what? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you get this old blessed book, the one that was instrumental in founding this country, when you get this old blessed book and you read through this book, the mirror that's coming off the page is Jesus Christ. And we look at that and say, Lord, I don't get a lot of it, but I believe it. That Spirit of God jumps off that page and goes right into your life. Now, when we say, I don't believe that part, I don't like that part, then the Spirit of God is grieved, and then our lives are limited. You see, so when people read you, what are they reading? What epistle are they reading? Are they reading NIV? Reading the New American Standard? How about the JW Bible? Jehovah's Witness Bible does the same cotton-picking 16 verses taken out from Matthew to Romans, same 16. At least the Jehovah's Witness Bible put the number in. I'm so glad they put the number in. The NIV lost the number. And the Jehovah's Witness Bible put a slash. Boy, that makes memorization very easy. Matthew 23:14, slash. Acts, Matthew 18:11, slash. Boy, am I good at my Bible memory. Matthew 17:21, slash. And this is what I would do with guys in prison. If they'd have NIV, I would not tell them what was wrong with it. I would say, there's a verse I think is a real blessing. Would you look it up for me? Sure. Matthew 17:21. It's not there. Oh, it must be a misprint. Matthew 18:11. Let's try that one. It's gone. Whoa. I'll be. Matthew 23:14. Look at that one. It's gone. By the third time, they are getting so mad. Not at me, because somebody sold them a map that took I-65 off. You see? And it's funny to me. I've talked to Christians, and I've showed them these things, NIV folks, and they say, they don't care. It doesn't matter. When a person says that, I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't matter that the ones who were led to put this book out took Lucifer out, put Jesus Christ in. That doesn't bother you? That bothers me. And that's why the Lord's rejecting them. Now, I'm not saying it's lost. I'm not saying they're lost. I'm saying that the Lord is rejecting their life and their church when they're pushing that. When people read you and I, what are they reading? And the thing is what do we tell them? I am a Bible believer. That's what I am. They ask us, what are you? What denomination are you? I'm a Bible believer. That's what I am. And if you want to pin it down at that, that's it. Well, you are an ignoramus to believe the Bible. Well, praise the Lord, then I'm an ignoramus. You're a dumb thump to believe the Bible. Oh, well, good that I'm a dumb thump. I believe what the book says. I don't care what you think. Well, you probably think all these people in the world came from two people. Well, you probably think they came from amoeba, so I think you're dumber than I am. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And so I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that God Almighty has preserved His words without error. And this is a question that I posed to Kirk Cameron years ago when Kirk Cameron was asking me about the Bible issue. And he was trying to go, well, do you have one thing that can really get me thinking about it? And I threw a few things out at him and I said, how about this one, Kurt? I said, Jesus Christ is called a word of God. Is that correct? And he said, yeah. I said, Jesus Christ is perfectly holy today. Is that correct? He said, yes. And I said, then why do you believe there is no perfect and holy Bible today? And his answer was, oh. I said, that does the trick, doesn't it? Sad thing is he's rejected it. Look at his movies. He's rejected that old King James Bible. It's a sad thing. Why? Because somebody influenced him. And about 20 seconds later, he said, are you telling me my pastor's of the devil? I said, I didn't say anything about your pastor. I didn't even know anything about him. Why? It's because he was a New American Standard guy. Well, I know James White personally. I said, I don't care who you know. Jesus Christ is a word of God. He is perfect and holy today. And I'm here to tell you, we got a perfect and holy Bible today. And rat food is 99.95% nutritious, as that is. But that poison will kill you. You see, that's the problem. Yeah, I can lead someone to Christ with that. I can drink pure water, just like what I said to a young man. I said, if you had a choice of drinking pure water, there I got it. If you want toilet water, just flush it a couple times before you drink it. There's toilet water. If I would die of thirst, I'd drink it. But if I'm going to get pure water, I'm taking that every time. I don't have to worry about the things in that book. What a blessed thing God's given us. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to see that you have allowed, on purpose, the new translations. You've allowed them. Why? To see how sincere we are. That's the intent. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us, at least the ones that you have fortunately or kindly or graciously or mercifully revealed this truth to us. And that's in your mercy. And Lord, when we cross believers that have these other versions, help us just to be gentle with them and try to show them that they might see, hey, there is a pure Bible today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for that. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to believe it so that the Spirit of God can work through each and every one of us so that we exude the glory of Jesus Christ. When people read us, I pray that they could read the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for your great blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed.